On 881, I'm Tom Hall. It's time now for another installment in our monthly series, Living Questions, in which we examine the role of religion in the public sphere. We're producing this series in partnership with the Institute for Christian and Jewish Studies. Last week here on Maryland Morning, we talked about Islamophobia and the increasing tension over issues like refugees between American Muslims and political leaders of other faith traditions. Today, a conversation with two Christian pastors, an Episcopal priest and a Lutheran minister, whose congregations made the decision to merge together into one religious community. The Reverend David Eisenhuth, the pastor of the Lutheran Church of the Holy Comforter, and Reverend T. Stewart Lucas, the rector of the Episcopal Church of the Nativity, join me in the studio to talk about the reasons behind the decision to combine their two North Baltimore congregations. Good morning to you both.
Good morning.
It's great to be here.
So, Reverend Eisenhuth, it's been about a month. You decided to make this announcement or effect this merge on All Saints Day, November 1st, so, you know, 3 weeks or so. How's it going so far?
Oh, it's going very well. Has exceeded our expectations, and by all accounts, from speaking with my members in particular, they're very pleased and feel particularly welcome at Nativity, and I think we're glad we made the move.
Good. And you are, Reverend Lucas, worshiping at Nativity.
We are at our Cedarcroft Road address, just off of York Road, just north of Northern Parkway.
Mm-hmm. And so the other church had to move to you.
They have, right. And are still in the process of moving. So mm-hmm. It's about putting two families together and all of the stuff. And we all have lots of closets, and so we're cleaning those things up and organizing a lot of details.
So Reverend Eisenhuth says that it's exceeded your expectations. What were your personal expectations when you went into this?
It was hard to know. I knew we were going to have more people in the church and that worship was going to feel better. And it worship has exceeded my expectations as well. The sense of community and the joy that we've expressed just in singing together is different with the numbers we have now and the excitement for what we're going to do together in Baltimore.
Uh-huh. And so your congregations, when they were separate, numbered on a typical Sunday about what?
About 40 to 50 worshipers.
So now we're in the hundreds?
Yes, we're well over 100.
Yeah, so that makes it a much bigger, perhaps a joyfuler noise. Huh,
it is indeed. You know, when you've got a choir of 6 or 15, there's a big difference.
Yeah.
Well, we had reached a critical mass where we were no longer able really to even have committees because people were doing all kinds of things and just burning out. And we were saddled with a huge building built for a congregation 10 times the size of the one we have now. And so because of our desire to focus on something other than the building, we decided we really needed to have a renewed sense of mission. And so that's what prompted our search for a partner.
Mm-hmm. And so part of this, Father Lucas, is financial. I mean,
sure.
There's economies of scale that you can achieve. You don't need two organs. You don't need two photocopy machines, that kind of stuff. But that's not was that the primary reason or was that a secondary reason?
Well, we're all in nonprofit ministry trying to run nonprofits. We have to look at those numbers. But we don't think it's about money or members, but really about mission and ministry. It's not about maintenance. It's about what God is calling us to do together to make change that we all know we need here in Baltimore and around the world.
What kind of change can you make now that you've combined that you were not able to make prior?
Well, as I said, worship and creative ministry, number one, but also just in the outreach projects when we're filling stockings for the Salvation Army or shoeboxes that we distribute on the ships down at the port, you know, we can do twice as many together. And we bring our energy and enthusiasm for that and are already looking at other ways that we're going to get involved in the community through local schools and working, supporting education and several other different opportunities.
Reverend T. Stewart Lucas, he's the rector of the Episcopal Church of the Nativity. We're also joined by the Reverend David Eisenhuth. He's the pastor of the Lutheran Church of the Holy Comforter. The two congregations merged on the first of this month. On 88.1, you're listening to Living Questions, our series in which we examine the role of religion in the public sphere. I'm Tom Hall. Gentlemen, more than a quarter of American adults, about 28%, according to the Pew Forum on Religion and Public Life that did a survey just a few months ago, more than a quarter have left the faith in which they were raised. They've either gone to another faith or they've sort of dropped faith completely out of their lives. This is a trend that's happening not just in the United States, but around the world. Reverend Eisenhuth, is this merger a way of addressing that issue that you and anybody in the business of being clergy has to confront in today's world.
Oh, absolutely. I think that there are reasons why people have left the church. I had a couple come to my congregation, and they came for a couple of weeks and stopped coming. So I contacted them and asked them what was the matter. And they said to me that we sounded desperate every Sunday. We were talking about money. We were talking about concerns of the building. And I came to realize that Jesus really didn't talk a lot about buildings and certainly had no knowledge about boilers, which was one of our major concerns with the monster down in the basement. And so when we began thinking about this, we thought, maybe people are not coming because they don't have a sense of mission. What is the ministry of this congregation to be? And it wasn't the building. It was to be with other people, trying to live out what Jesus wants us to do, which is to reach out to other people, to learn about the faith and come together as a family and as a community. And that's what we've discovered at Nativity.
So, Father Lucas, that rings true. I mean, this is a matter of not having to worry about some of the nuts and bolts things of running congregations so that you can worry about other things.
Right. And that we're also getting over ourselves. The younger people in my generation are tired of infighting and fighting over issues and over labels and who's in and who's out. And we believe, and those were big parts of our premarital conversations, was do we believe the same thing? Are we both welcoming everyone to the table? And we are. And that, I think, is why we're getting along so well together.
Well, let me ask you that very question. Do you believe the same thing? Which is to say, are there theological differences, theological interpretations of Scripture, etc., that are different between Episcopalians and Lutherans?
I think if you look at the core, no, there are not any differences. We're all serving the same Lord. But in the intricacies of how we take communion and silly things like that that don't matter to God a whole lot, I think we're really alike. And so we have this concordat that goes back 10 or 15 years, and now I've forgotten the year. We have that support from our bishops and from our synod and our diocese that say this is good stuff, mm-hmm. And this is the wave of the future.
So, Reverend Eisenhuth, that's another question. I mean, what has the synod said about it? Because there perhaps might be some subtle differences, or as Father Lucas says, some of the silly things like the way communion's distributed, that may not be in the larger scope of things all that important. But if the Lutheran synod has an opinion about same-sex marriage or some of the larger issues, that doesn't happen to concur with the Episcopalian diocese. How does that get worked out?
Well, we've remained two separate congregations. We're still two separate entities and sharing the building, but also sharing mission and ministry. We actually sent out spies when we first started talking about this, and one of my members went to Nativity on one of those really snowy days in February and received a very gracious welcome. And he came back and reported that this might be a possible mission partner, so we sent out more spies. And then I had a conversation with Stuart, and it was very fruitful, and that was 8 months ago, and here we are together. And we started talking about the ways in which we welcome all people and our desire to help in spiritual formation, which is one of the most important things I think we can do together. This whole thing has been helped immensely by the fact that we pretty much are the same. Someone's going to sit in somebody else's seat, someone's going to take somebody else's parking space, but in terms of what we believe, that really was pretty much in line with what we each believe.
Yeah, interesting. So this gets juicy here. They're sending spies to each other's places. That's great. Did you have any congregants, dress up as Lutherans and go over and crash the party over there?
No, but the first time we were there, we certainly checked out their kitchen to see what kind of equipment they had that we could bring over and make our dinner parties even more fun and fellowship dinners. But we were invited to come and worship with them and vice versa. And so we tried it out three or four different times and felt that same sense of camaraderie, mainly because our congregations are so similar demographically. Together, we have people from 10 different countries. And so a large Liberian population, and that really has helped us as well. We've found a welcome in each other's communities.
Because I would guess, and you can tell me whether or not this is a legitimate stab, that temperamentally, if the two of you didn't get along famously, then your congregations aren't going to get along famously. That this has a lot to do with the interpersonal relationship that the two of you have been able to cultivate. Is that a decent guess?
Oh, absolutely. I've been a solo pastor for 35 years, and the idea of working with somebody was very intriguing to me, and at first I wondered if that was going to be possible, and where would I have office space, and to whom would I be reporting, and things like that. And as soon as I met Stuart, it was really a great experience, and I left there thinking, wow, this would be wonderful for me, because after 35 years of ordained ministry, I had begun to feel a bit burned out. And Stuart is extremely enthusiastic and has wonderful ideas. I bring a plethora of experiences and different things like that that I've been doing, but I'm open to anything. And I think that's one of the hallmarks of our congregations.
Yeah, so Stuart Lucas, it's a boost for your colleague and for you as well.
Absolutely. And we were smart enough to reach out and get some help in that premarital counseling, as I said earlier. The two of us have a clergy coach that's helping us figure out those things. What are our expectations? What are our leadership styles? Where are our gifts complementary, and what can we do to relieve the other? And so far, it's working really great.
So I can imagine that, you know, when you presented this idea to your respective congregations, that people could easily get their arms around the financial argument,
sure,
you know, running two buildings and all that stuff. But I wonder, what were the concerns, Father Lucas, that your congregants had, for example, about the actual merger, about, you know, worshiping with people from a different branch of Christianity? What did they worry about before it happened? And then how have those fears played out over these last few weeks?
Well, the first question really was, do they welcome everybody? Do they welcome gay and lesbian people? Do they welcome divorced people, people of different color, of different ethnic backgrounds, of different mental capabilities? And when we looked at it, that was a yes, a resounding yes. And then second was the intricacies of worship, because we're Episcopalians and we like our order, we like the way things are done, and we've been doing it for hundreds of years. And, you know, there's so many similarities and so many things that, quite frankly, our Lutheran brothers and sisters do better than we do, and we're quick to adopt those.
And did you get any pushback on this when you presented this to your Lutheran congregation?
Well, I think the only pushback was from many of the people who had been there their whole lives. And the thought of leaving a building that has seen witness to births, baptisms, marriages, and funerals, that was very difficult for some people. And when the financial realities were presented and the sense that, well, we could do more because we'd be better together, that did help people a lot. To be honest, some people left the congregation and went to other places. Others have... One older woman said to me that she had always hoped that she'd be buried from that building, and I said, well, there was one choice.
Yeah, right. What has happened to that building, the building that—
The building is up for sale.
Of the Holy Comfort.
A number of people have expressed interest in it, and we hope that it would be another faith community that would buy it, although some people who do ballroom dancing were interested in having that huge space so 250 people could dance together. I at first thought, well, I think I'd rather faith community, but I'm open to anything. It's a beautiful building. I know it will serve whoever purchases, and I hope it's purchased soon. If someone's looking for a big building, I can show you one.
Yeah, right. Well, we don't do a whole lot of real estate on this show, but you know, our best wishes to you both, and I do appreciate both of your coming by, and we wish you blessings and great luck with this very interesting experiment.
Thank you very much. We appreciate your time.
The Reverend David Eisenhuth is the pastor of the Lutheran Church of the Holy Comforter. The Reverend T. Stuart Lucas is the rector of the Episcopal Church of the Nativity. I'm Tom Hall. It's Marilyn Morning. You've been listening to Living Questions, our monthly series on religion in the public sphere, produced by WIPR in partnership with the Institute for Christian and Jewish Studies. Lots more ahead on Marilyn Morning. I'm Tom Hall. Stay with us.